8:42.
Thank you.
hymnal to Psalm 111. You chant responsively by whole verse. Sing the office hymn. You may be seated.
Always. Sunday after the Epiphany, is from Deuteronomy chapter 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from among your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb, on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that I shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you, who have knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged, if his conscience is weak, to eat food offered to idols? And so, by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus, sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." The unclean spirit, convulsing him, crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere, throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Page 221, we sing the responsory.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love my meditation on your house, and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord,
Jesus, the Holy One. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, beloved in Christ, we rejoice in the astonishing word and authority of Jesus Christ. Consider what astonishment is. Astonishment is surprise and amazement at something. You wonder and you are bewildered sometimes at the amazing things you see. You might even be shocked. We call it incredulity. You can hardly believe it. You have admiration and appreciation and stand of awe
of someone or something that you've seen. We call that veneration, holding something in high regard and high esteem. Let me ask you, what is it that astonishes you? Are you astonished by the great technological advances that we have with our computers and our phones in the digital world in which we live? Are you astonished with space exploration? We can land vehicles on the moon and Mars and examine these planets. Are you astonished at the agility of a quarterback to throw the ball so accurately in a game? Are you astonished at the beauty of the ocean and the sea along the beach and the sky as you look up and see the sun and the moon, the sunrise, the sunset, and the constellations at night, billions of stars? Are you astonished at the beauty and joy of looking at a little child or your grandchild happily playing a game? Are you astonished in the animal kingdom when you see the eagle and the birds flying over, and you see the whale in the ocean, and you see the great beasts upon the earth? And are you astonished and exhilarated when you hear a beautiful piece of music with singing and instruments? There are many things that astonish us all. Today, Jesus of Nazareth astonishes us with his teaching and with his authority. We see that he is true man, Jesus of Nazareth, but he is also true God, the Holy One of God. Today, God grant us truly godly astonishment at the word and authority of Jesus Christ. Let us begin by our astonishment at his amazing teaching as Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. Town of Nazareth, town up west of the Sea of Galilee, shows his humanity. He's a 30-year-old man, the stepson of a carpenter who is his stepfather, Joseph, at the carpenter trade. And people know about Jesus in Nazareth. He had been teaching in the synagogue there, and now he goes a little bit east of Nazareth toward the Sea of Galilee, the city called Capernaum, which is right on the shore of the lake. I've been there. You can visit that. You can actually stand. The place of the synagogue has been excavated where Jesus spoke. And in that synagogue, Jesus standing there as a 30-year-old man, because to be a mature man in their culture meant you had to be 30 years old to get up and teach, preach. There he was in the synagogue every Saturday, rest on the Sabbath in the Torah, the word of Moses, the word of the scripture. In the synagogue, the worship was very similar to the way we worship today, with the prayers, the psalms, hymns that were chanted and sung, sermon, creed, even the same benediction. Jesus worshiped the way we are worshiping. This is why there's not a rock band up here playing rock music. If you want to go see a concert, you can go to a rock concert, but you're not going to see it here. Because this is a sacred place for sacred words, sacred way of singing, sacred way of speaking, worshiping the way believers have always worshiped, for not just centuries, but for millennia. Our Lord Jesus Christ, then in a place like this, begins to teach, to read. And he is a rabbi, a teacher. But this is what astonished them. Typically, when the scribes would read, it was just reading and reciting, and it didn't seem to have much authority behind it, reading long discourses to the people. But when Jesus taught, the authority was just emanating from him, like someone who has got beams of light coming out from them. He spoke as one who had authority, not like the scribes, and they were astonished. Well, you know why he spoke as one who had authority? He did have authority. He, Jesus of Nazareth, had come from the Heavenly Father to proclaim God's word. Now, what the people were experiencing was a fulfillment of the Old Testament lesson this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 18. The Lord God, in 1400 BC, spoke about Jesus. The Lord will raise up a prophet greater than you from among your brethren. This prophet would come from the Jews. To him you must listen, because the voice of your God will come through him. He's going to be the prophet greater than you, Moses. God's very words will be in his mouth. He will speak what God commands, the Lord said. He will speak in the Lord's name. And we must listen. We must hear. We must meditate. We must believe. And we must live by his words. The amazing teaching of Jesus of Nazareth in his humanity is what we celebrate in Christmas and Epiphany. The one who is incarnate of the Virgin Mary is the Lord himself, Emmanuel, God with us. The one who preached the word from town to town, to village, was taking the word of the Father in heaven, speaking it in words that people could understand, even children could understand. This astounding teaching of the Word of God is written for us in the Apostolic New Testament, so that here in the Divine Service, when you read it at home, or when you go to Bible class or Sunday school, that word from heaven comes through Jesus to your ears, to your mind, and to your heart. Always be astonished by the teaching of Jesus. And you know how sometimes you appreciate something more when you don't have it anymore? Just imagine that you had never had a Bible and you had never heard the word of Christ. Well, guess what? Then go try to figure out reality on your own. Because that is what the world does. The world is trying to figure out truth and reality without the guidance of God's word. But you have a Bible. You probably have 5 Bibles in your house. You can read that word anytime. The word of the Father that has come directly to you. Always be astonished at the word of Jesus of Nazareth. Secondly, we are astonished at the authority and the power of the Holy One of God. Because not only is Jesus in his humanity the man of Nazareth, he is the very Holy One of God, his deity as true God. Now, a very dramatic event happens in the synagogue. In the synagogue, there's a lot of people gathering for worship, and suddenly a man is there with an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit is an evil angel, one of the angels that fell in the rebellion with the devil. They're also called demons and devils. They are cast into hell, but they wander on earth, tempting and torturing people. A demon, an unclean spirit, had possessed this poor man. And you notice the demon cries out through the man's vocal cords. What have you to do with us? Have you come to destroy us? You notice how he uses a plural pronoun. It may be one, but there's many other demons there in the invisible realm present with him. All of them understand who Jesus is. As St. Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities of the dark places and the demonic world. The devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh every day is trying to destroy your faith. Jesus then rebukes this demon and silences him and drives him out. He will not have this devil preaching the gospel. No. Cast the demon out. which causes the man to convulse and shriek, cry out with a loud voice. The demon was cast out, and the man was at peace. He'd been set free. So often in the Gospels, Jesus casts out demons and sets people free from that oppression. Here, Jesus demonstrated his true identity. He may have looked like just a carpenter from Nazareth, but the reality is he was the Holy One of God, God's eternal Son. To say the Holy One of God is saying he is the great I Am in the person of Jesus. The Trinity, three persons in one God, is the only God, as St. Paul said this morning in the epistle. There are many so-called lords and gods, but they don't exist. Whether it be an idol made out of stone, or wood, or money, or investments, or pride, or fame, they're not actually gods at all. Only Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the true God. That's what St. Paul said. We worship the Father from whom all things exist and for whom we exist. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, which means he is God, and man, and the Messiah, through whom we are all, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist. And we worship the Holy Spirit, who came down upon the waters at creation in Genesis, came down upon the waters at Jesus' baptism, and anointed him as the Messiah and the Christ. This is the only God, the Holy God. This is why on Communion Sundays and other times during the year we confess the Apostles and the Nicene Creed. Why on Trinity Sunday we say the very long but powerful Athanasian Creed. And in the order of Matins in a moment, we're going to sing the Te Deum Laudamus, which is the creed, if you will, of the Matins service, proclaiming Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This Holy One of God placed his Holy Spirit in you in your baptism. The reality is, just as you are astonished by the Word of God, you are also to be astonished at the authority and the power that God has in you, in the Holy Spirit, that you can actually battle the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh. You pick up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and the shield of faith, and you fight back with all of your might, with all of your vigor. We don't have to give in to temptation. We battle them in the authority of Christ, the Holy One of God, with the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God, and God protects you with the shield of faith and the breastplate of Christ's righteousness that covers you. We will always be astonished by the Word of Christ. We will always be astonished by his authority and power, and we will see him on his throne one day. The last thing we must consider then this morning is how does that teaching and authority help us right now in our day? How does his teaching help us? Stay amazed. The people there question among themselves, what is this new teaching? He commands and speaks. His fame spreads. Well, as St. Paul said this morning, he has taught you. You possess the knowledge of the true God. You know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In his name you were baptized. You know what love is, agape love. You have been loved by God, and so you love your brother. You also know, be done with idols. No more idols. No more false gods. May they be gone, because you can continue in the teaching of Holy Scripture. The one who was born of the Virgin, who was crucified in our place, who was raised from the dead, who was sent at the right hand of God and is coming in glory, his assurance is that I will be with you always to the end of the world. I am the atoning sacrifice for your sin. You have been redeemed by his holy precious blood in his innocent suffering and death. You have the inheritance of heaven. because you are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible teaches. Be astonished by that. And also be astonished by his authority. What is this new authority, they say? Even the demons obey him. Everywhere the word went out in the surrounding areas of Galilee. St. Paul says, because the gospel goes out, we have permission to eat any food and drink in moderation that we wish. Our consciences have been cleansed and purified. We do want to avoid offending our weak brother, consider their views. Christ died for all people, so we care for all people, whether they be high or low in society, and we speak the truth to them in love. And what's so powerful about you knowing the creed and you knowing the word of God, then the authority of Christ can flow from our humble actions of mercy and witness to others. So my friends, in conclusion, just as the news of Jesus spread through the whole world, from Galilee to Samaria throughout the entire Roman Empire, in one generation, we, in our personal lives, our family lives, our community, and our congregation, have one purpose: to bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ and carry out his great commission to make disciples of all nations. And the Epiphany season is a great time to remind us of that. From the Magi and the star and the gold and frankincense and myrrh for prophet, priest, and king, to the Mount of Transfiguration that we come to in about 2 weeks, Christ shining in glory, this is a great time to consider how Jesus is the true light for a world that is dark. The mission of the church is to proclaim Christ and his light to a world that is filled with death and darkness. So now that we are in 2021, keep coming back to the divine service. Don't be afraid to come to church. Come to church, receive the gifts in the sacrament and Holy Communion. Come here to rest in God's Word. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. And with the authority of the Word of God, you can do battle against the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh. Let us now and always live daily in the astonishment with Jesus' Word and Jesus' authority. Godly astonishment. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guide our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us now sing the Creed of the Order of Matins, the Te Deum Laudamus. Turn to page 223. Page 223, we stand to sing.
Thank you.
collected in narthex as you leave, and your offerings at the offering plates at the door. You may be seated for the voluntary. Continue on page 227. We stand to sing the Kyrie. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
By the light of your blessed divine word, guide this congregation this coming year to carry out your great commission. Help us to walk in the light of your truth, with joy, rejoice with sure confidence in Christ, and bring many into everlasting salvation through the proclamation of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, keep this nation under your care. Bless the leaders of our land recently elected, that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to all the nations on earth. Give us trustworthy leaders that contribute to wise decisions for the general welfare, and also to support those who defend our liberties and freedom. Alex Laffin, Courtney Tate, Emily Shelton, Danny Green, Charles Gaither, Kevin Stevenson, Mike Gobble, and Ricardo Batanga. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, you called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith as your baptized Christians to go forth with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love is supporting us. Lord, in your mercy, in holy baptism, you give us a steadfast faith and a cheerful hope in your mercy. This week, be with Jay Gallagher, McKenna Scott, Justin Hartman, Eileen Stringer, Vern Ramsey, and Matt Spence. Surround them, preserve them in body and soul as they celebrate their birthday and baptism. Also, bless Anna and Charles Gaither as they celebrate their wedding anniversaries. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the mission work of the church, for you call many to be your children and heirs of your gracious promise. We pray for Pastor David and his wife, Joyce Erber, who serve in the Lutheran Church of Ghana. Be with him as he trains pastors and teachers throughout the respective regions, that they in Ghana proclaim the same gospel that we proclaim here. Bless Pastor Erber and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ghana. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you